Welcome to a deep dive into Neal Stephenson's The Diamond Age. We're kind of dissecting excerpts from the novel, so get ready to explore a future, full of nanotech neo-Victorians, and this artifact that kind of rewrites the rules of education, the Young Lady's Illustrated Primer.
What's really remarkable about the Diamond Age is how Stevenson throws us into this world where you have Victorian sensibilities, but they're coexisting with matter compilers and ancient Chinese philosophy.
It's like he's thrown history into a blender with a cutting-edge tech startup.
It really is, and he forces us to ask, what happens when all this technological progress collides with these deeply ingrained social structures?
And we see this clash play out through characters like Bud, who's struggling to find his place in a world of files. These are like these subcultures built around specific ideologies and technologies. And then there's Hackworth, this engineering genius who seems to be both shaping the future and kind of getting swept away by it at the same time.
And Hackworth's disillusionment with mass-produced technology is really key to understanding the creation of the primer. He yearns for something bespoke, something that can nurture an individual mind, rather than just churning out these standardized citizens. This is where the concept of the primer, this highly advanced interactive book, comes
And he
in.
pours all his genius into this book, right? Making it capable of adapting to the user, teaching through these immersive stories, and even defending itself.
It's true.
It's like he's trying to create the ultimate learning experience, totally tailored for this one very lucky student.
And yet this act of creation, it throws a wrench into the gears of power. Because Hackworth's a genius, it attracts all this unwanted attention from figures like the enigmatic Judge Fang and this shadowy Dr. X. The primer was intended for a privileged few, but it becomes this coveted object, a potential weapon in the struggle for control.
It's fascinating how Stevenson uses the primer as like a microcosm for the larger themes of the book. You have the incredible technology with the power to enlighten and empower, but it's also entangled with ambition, control, and the potential for these really crazy unintended consequences.
And this is where Nell enters the picture. So instead of ending up in the hands of its intended recipient, the primer falls into the hands of Nell, this young girl who's navigating the harsh realities of the leased territories, this poverty-stricken area, plagued by violence and instability.
Talk about a life-changing plot twist, right? Nell's journey is a testament to the transformative power of education, especially in a world where access to knowledge is often really restricted.
It makes you think her experience with the primer, it challenges us to think about the role of technology in shaping individual destinies, right? Can a tool, even one as sophisticated as the primer, truly empower someone to transcend their circumstances? Or does it just perpetuate these existing inequalities?
That's a question that resonates even today, right? I mean, we see it play out with access to the internet, to educational resources, even the kinds of algorithms that shape our online experiences.
Precisely. And Stevenson doesn't offer any, easy answers. He presents us with this really complex world where technology is both a catalyst for change and a reflection of the existing power structures.
So we have this incredible world built on these contrasting ideologies and technological advancements. And at the heart of it is Nell, armed with the primer, ready to embark on this journey that will challenge everything she thought she knew. So we left off with Nell, our unlikely heroine, holding this primer, this piece of technology that seems almost magical in its ability to educate and empower. But she's also navigating a world of very real dangers, right? Starting with this harrowing escape from Baron Burt.
This escape scene is really interesting because it's where we see the primer's lessons translate into like real world action. Nell uses these self-defense techniques that she learned through these interactive simulations in the primer, and it shows the potential for technology to really equip individuals with the skills to confront oppression.
Yeah, it's a powerful example to how education, even in its most unconventional forms, can be like essential for survival. But, escaping one threat often means facing new ones, right? And in Nell's case, she and her adopted brother Harf, they find themselves under the care of Miranda, this Ractor who performs these interactive narratives, but for these wealthy clients.
And here's where Stevenson, he introduces another layer to this whole exploration of technology and how it impacts society, because Ractors like Miranda, they use their bodies as instruments.
Oh,
They're
no.
embodying characters and stories, but it's for the entertainment of the elite, right? And it's a stark contrast to Nell's experience with the Primer, where the focus is on, individual growth and self-discovery, not performing for others.
It makes you think about the different ways that we use technology to tell stories, to entertain, to manipulate, even to control. Like Stevenson he's holding up this mirror to our own fascination with entertainment, with how we blur the lines between reality and these carefully constructed narratives that we consume.
It's true. And as Miranda gets more drawn into Nell's story, she stumbles upon this dangerous truth, right? That the primer, this is no ordinary book, and its existence has attracted the attention of these powerful forces,
Yeah.
including the enigmatic Judge Fang.
Judge Fang, he embodies this fascinating duality in Stevenson's world, right? He's a product of both ancient Chinese tradition and modern technological advancements. And he's trying to maintain order in this society that's really on the brink of chaos.
Yeah, his methods are really interesting too because it's this blend of Confucian wisdom, but he's also using these sophisticated surveillance systems, which highlights the challenges of governing in an era of such rapid technological change. Judge Fang's struggle to reconcile tradition with progress, it's a reflection of the larger cultural clash that's happening in the Diamond Age.
And we see this clash most vividly in the tension between like the technologically advanced files, right? And the rising power of this Confucian-inspired celestial kingdom, each one representing a totally distinct vision of the future.
And caught in the middle of this ideological tug of war is Nell, right? She's armed with the primer, this piece of technology that just defies easy categorization. And as she goes deeper into its lessons, she encounters this hidden library, like inside the primer's virtual
Oh,
world.
wow.
And she's unlocking these secrets about its creation, its connection to this mysterious entity known as the Seed.
It's like she's uncovered the source code of her own destiny. But with this knowledge comes this profound responsibility. Nell's beginning to understand that the primer is more than just a learning tool. It's like it's a blueprint for shaping the future. It's a power that others would, kill to control.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to the shadowy figure of Dr. X. He's working behind the scenes, he's manipulating events, he's using his knowledge of the primer and the seed to further his own agenda. And his vision is, well, he wants to restore China's ancient glory, but through technological dominance.
Dr. X's ambition just adds another layer of complexity to this web of intrigue that Stevenson has created. He represents the seductive allure of power, this dangerous temptation to control the future, even if it means giving up, sacrificing individual liberty.
And as tensions escalate in Shanghai, as the Celestial Kingdom makes its move, the files are preparing for this clash of ideologies. And Nell, she finds herself at a crossroads. She has to decide how to use the power that she's been given, and it's a decision that'll have really far-reaching consequences for her and the world around her.
It's a lot to process. We've got Nell, she's grappling with what this primer really means. Judge Fang trying to keep order in a world that's falling apart. Dr. X pulling strings in the shadows, and this conflict that's about to explode between tradition and progress. It's enough to make your head spin.
And yet Stevenson weaves all these seemingly totally random threads into this cohesive narrative. He forces us to really confront the complexities of a future where technology has reshaped everything about what it means to be human, from how we learn to the very nature of power.
And just when you think you've got a handle on things, Stevenson throws in this curveball, right? Nell is sent to Miss Matheson's Academy for Young Ladies, which sounds idyllic, this institution, but it hides a much darker reality.
Yeah, this episode in Nell's journey, it shows these subtle forms of control that can exist even in the most, seemingly nice systems.
Yeah.
Miss Matheson, she's all about discipline and conformity. It mirrors these societal pressures to fit in, to give up your individuality for the sake of order.
It's like this stark reminder that technology is only as good as the people who use it, right? A tool that's meant for education can easily be used for indoctrination as a way to keep the powerful in power. And Nell, with her independent spirit and her primer instilled sense of self-reliance, she's unique. She's equipped to challenge the system from within.
Her time at the academy shows the power of the individual to resist, to question authority, to forge their own path. Nell's courage in the face of these subtle forms of oppression, it reminds us that real education isn't about memorizing facts or following rigid rules. It's about critical thinking, independent thought, and the courage to challenge the status quo.
It's a powerful message, and one that feels so relevant today. We deal with technology's impact on our own lives, our education systems, our own ideas of truth, and being an individual. But before we get deeper into Nell's time at the Academy and everything that happens when she unlocks the secrets of the primer and the seed, let's take a second to think about what we've talked about so far. So we left off with Nell, right, leading this tribe of young women who've all been shaped by the Primer's lessons, and they're seeking refuge in this, well, it's the most unexpected place, the underwater realm of the drummers. Remember, these are this society built on this huge network of interconnected minds, all sharing information and experiences like instantly.
Yeah, it's this really fascinating contrast to the world Nell's come from, right? A world that's still kind of struggling with these tensions between individual identity and these collective ideologies. But the drummers, they represent this kind of technological singularity, this merging of minds that's made possible by really advanced nanotech.
It sounds, I don't know, utopian, a little creepy, right? Like what happens to individuality when everybody's plugged in all the time, sharing every thought and feeling?
That's a great question, and that's exactly what Stevenson explores as Nell. You know, she gets further into the drummer's world. She starts to see the cracks in the seemingly perfect facade, this potential for somebody to manipulate and control within this network of minds.
So even in a world that's like moved past physical limitations, the same problems with power pop up. Makes you wonder if technology just takes the stuff we already do, good and bad, and just like turns it up to 11.
Absolutely. And this is where Carl Hollywood's story becomes really important. He follows Nell into the drummer's world, but unlike Nell, he's not so sure about it at first. He's cynical even. Remember, Carl started out as this observer, right? More interested in the spectacle of it all than in really connecting with other people.
He really goes through a huge change, though. It's like watching a tech-powered religious experience or something.
Exactly. Through his interactions with Nell and as he learns more about the drummer's network, Carl starts to see how technology can actually help people connect, bridge the gaps between individuals and cultures even.
It's interesting how Stevenson uses Carl to show how limited a purely intellectual approach to the world can be. He's got to move past his cynicism and allow himself to be a little vulnerable to connect with the drummers and really get what they're about.
And that brings us to this pivotal moment where all the main players they come together in this underwater amphitheater in the drummer's world. Nell, Carl, Miranda, even Hackworth, the guy who created the primer, they're all drawn together by something bigger than themselves.
Like all the different threads of the story, they're all being pulled together, setting the stage for this final showdown.
And right at the center of all this is Miranda, who's basically become like a physical form for the drummer's collective consciousness.
Wow.
She's both the good and the bad of this interconnectedness, this beauty of shared experience, but also the potential for losing your individual identity.
It's amazing how Nell reacts to all this. She spent her life learning and adapting because of the primer, but she makes this choice to cut off her connection to the drummer's network. It's like she's rejecting the most powerful tech upgrade you could imagine.
Her choice really gets to the core of what this novel's about. Individual agency, even when you're up against these huge technological forces, Nell sees that real freedom, it's not about total assimilation, right? It's about being able to choose your own path, even if it means facing the unknown and taking risks.
It's a powerful statement about the human spirit, you know, but it also leaves us with this feeling of what next? What happens to Nell and her group? What about the rest of the world? This fight that's brewing between the Files and the Celestial Kingdom.
Stevenson, as always, he doesn't give us any easy answers. He leaves us with this sense of possibility, a challenge to really think about the choices these characters make and the uncertain future they're facing.
As we come to the end of our deep dive into the Diamond Age, one question sticks with us. How do we deal with a world where technology is always changing what it means to be human? What choices will we make? What stories will we tell? And what kind of future are we going to build, both on our own and together? These are questions we should all be thinking about long after we finish the book.